Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Brendan Escott with you today on Oilers Now. Bob and Reed Wilkins golfing at the Gary Dreger Memorial Golf Classic today. The links at Spruce Grove. Bob back on Monday. Reed has the airwaves tonight for Inside Sports. And tomorrow, it's the Edmonton Elks taking over late into the evening. 8 o'clock kickoff, the Saskatchewan Roughriders in town on the brick field at Commonwealth Stadium. Our coverage starts at 6:30. I've got the countdown show. We should actually be outside, so if you're heading to the game, come on and say hello. In the meantime, we'll say hello to Elks color analyst here on 6:30. Chad, that is Dave Campbell checking in. Dave, how's it going today?
Really good, Brendan. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for jumping on here. And it's an exciting night, first and foremost, even, you know, football game aside, as we've got a few people going up into the Wall of Honor, the Elks Wall of Honor.
I tell you, whenever there's a game on a night where they're honoring their past and putting more players, former players on the Wall of Honor, I just get so excited. And you get three, you know, and this is the first inductee since 2019 when Ricky Ray went up. So we got Ed Jones and we have Joe Holman, two great defensive backs during that five in a row era, and then one of the best running backs in the league at that time as well, in Jim Germany. So it's always exciting. The three are here already, and very excited to be back in Edmonton. And I know Ed Jones lives here, so you know he's always in Edmonton. But you know Jim Germany and Joe Holman for sure. You know, basically calling this their home, even though they don't live here, but they always love coming back and are very, very, very appreciative of what the city of Edmonton gave to them and what they were able to give back to the city in five Grey Cup championships in a row, which will probably never be duplicated in any other league, any other sport.
Yeah, you talk about the dynasties right across sports, and it's hard to ignore the that stretch for the Edmonton Eskimos. First induction in a couple of years now. It sounds like we're going to have Jim Germany on the kickoff show tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Now they're taking on the Riders, Dave, and this is, you know, a team that is sitting 4 points up on the Elks in the standings. They're 4-4. Edmonton 2-6. On the year. The game that they played on the brick field earlier in the season, week two, I believe it was, Edmonton was up 13-12 in the second half. So this is a pretty reasonable chance to get things going on the right track for a team that it just has not been. But obviously, you're going to have a lot of things fall into place given the way that Edmonton's been performing lately.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And you're coming off a loss in the fashion that it was, 46-14 to the Lions, and I think we can all be happy, especially the football team. They don't have to face the Lions now until October 21st or something like that. So there's just some teams, and you know this, Brandon, you've covered enough sports, especially hockey and others, that there are some teams that just are a bad matchup for certain teams. And I think for the Elks, the Lions are definitely in that category. But you look at the Riders, and you go from, you know, especially from an offensive standpoint, you get this, you know, this high-flying, spectacular offense in the Lions compared to the Riders, who are run-first team. They like to grind out yards, grind out points. But you also factor in as well, you have a quarterback in Cody Fajardo who suffered an MCL sprain in that particular game, and then it got re-aggravated in the game against the Argos for the Touchdown Atlantic game, and now he's wearing a brace, and he hasn't really been the same quarterback since. And for the Elks defensively, might be a chance that you can get after Cody Fajardo and keep him in the pocket, and they did get 4 sacks on him when he was healthy in week two, but at the same time, you got to take care of your own business, and one thing I'll say is, you look at that roster, Brendan, and, you know, I remember back in week one to week two, there was, what, 11 changes? And a lot of that has to do with the health of the team. It's a lot better now. They only have two changes. And it's just an effort for Chris Jones to try and find some continuity and to ride with a group that he can maybe grow with. But, you know, we'll see what happens here. But, you know, as far as the game itself, you know, this is the first time that the Elks can help their playoff chances directly with the team that they are chasing. As the Riders 4-4, they lost three straight, but they're in the fourth spot in the West, and that's the crossover position in the East. And I think there's no question we're going to have a crossover this year. So it's going to be a different type of game, style-wise, I would think. And I think it's a game that Chris Jones likes to play. It's more of the low event game, rely on the defense. Offense, just all they have to do is just play clean. That's the one thing we didn't see in that week two matchup. Certainly was a big factor, especially, you know, we remember there was Nick Arbuckle at quarterback in week two, but Larry Dean, late in the fourth quarter, stripped sack, and then it was in the end zone, I believe, one play later. Cody Fajardo found, I believe it was Mitch Picton. There's a story. So, but it's the game that I think Chris Jones wants to play. It's that low event game, and, you know, just kind of keep the score close and keep the score low. But it's time for this team to start making better decisions and the smarter decisions, and play better with adversity and play better with prosperity as well.
One of the things, as far as high event plays against this team goes, it just seems to be a lack of communication or awareness, one of the two, in the defensive secondary. And the focal point leading into this week had been just how much change there had been as far as personnel in the defensive secondary. But this week, that's not an excuse. So the home run plays that seem to have been plaguing this team against BC, against Calgary, for example, I mean, you got to start limiting those here in week 10.
Yeah, there's no question, and there will be some changes within the starting group. Tristan DeCoute is going to move from the Sam linebacker spot back to the spot he's been playing all season for the most part, which is the wide side halfback spot. Nafis Lyon moves over to the corner spot on that same side, so Raphael Leonard is off, and they put Enoch McConzo in at Sam linebacker, and someone who's very good in the box and very physical. We'll see how he does in pass covers and man coverage, because I definitely would think that that's something the offensive coordinator of the Riders, Jason Moss, wants to perhaps exploit. But, Ted Gainey this week was pretty transparent about, you know, just having the veterans help the young guys and help the young guys and the experienced players understand the role of their role in pro football, their role on this team, what Chris Jones is all about, what's expected of them, and to try and keep that focus and concentration within a game better and kind of park whatever else is going on in your life, in your head, that sort of thing, and just have everyone on the same page. And it was very clear last week, Brendan, no one was on the same page very often. Now, again, the Riders, I don't think, play the same type of game as the Lions, but that doesn't mean that Cody Fajardo is going to, you know, find his deep shots downfield or attempt them. So we'll see what happens. You know, I do think it's going to be more of a in-the-box kind of game, because you got the best run team in the league in the Riders, and the best rusher in the league in Jamal Morrow. But, you know, I mean, I think this is time for the team, for everyone to take a step, and I get a sense that maybe the younger players are looking at the veterans a little bit too much and, you know, kind of waiting for them to do something, when it's like, no, you have to do something as well. You got to bring your own lunch pail here and bring what you have learned to this point. So, you know, they are a young team. There's no question. They changed so many parts from last season, as you know, Brendan, as everyone, a lot of people know. But now it's kind of the time, you're at the halfway mark, you're kind of waiting to see, you know, who can kind of step up and rise to the challenge, because, you know, you're a rookie now, but the more games you play, the less of a rookie you are. You start to become a veteran. So, and again, Chris Jones made minimal changes this week. He's trying to find a group to ride with. And if he doesn't see what he likes over the next 2-3 games, more changes will be coming, because we know Chris Jones is not afraid to make changes if he sees fit.
chatting with a color analyst of the Edmonton Elks on 630 CHED, Dave Campbell. Getting the Elks running game going has to be of utmost importance at this point. I mean, the touches that, say, Antti Milanovic-Litre is getting, he's been effective with for the most part. Mm-hmm. The problem is, Dave, he's getting five touches a game.
Yeah, same as Malik Irons. I mean, you have two running backs that have limited touches, but they have that magical five-yard average, and Irons is right at five. Litre is around 5.6, 5.8. But it does seem like if the run game isn't successful early, then Stephen McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, is very quick to go away from it. And Chris Jones has said he's reminded him that we got to get the run game going. We got to make sure that we're calling the run game at certain points. And another concern, too, is they're not protecting the quarterback well enough, and that's not always on the offensive line. I think the quarterback has some part to play in that as well. But my point is when it's pretty tough to move the football when A, you can't protect your quarterback, and B, you can't run the football. What are you supposed to do? You become a little bit more pop gun, right? But you look at that drive, that scoring drive to tie the game up at 7 last week against the Lions. Taylor Cornelius was like 5 for 5. They moved the ball really, really well. They got a couple nice runs out of Litre, and they got a nice touchdown throw from Taylor Cornelius on the half roll to Kenny Lawler for his fourth touchdown of the season. And then it all went away, obviously. Everything just fell apart. But it's perplexing because this is a team that wants to run the football, and they may have two individuals that can get it done for you. It's just being committed to it and finding a way to use it more often than maybe they have, because they're in second along too much, I think, in too many games this year. Last week they were second along, I think, about 65% of the time. That is not a good tonic. And especially, the Riders do have some injuries on their D. Pete Robertson is out, even though he practiced this week. He ties on a CFL lead in sacks with 7. Garrett Moreno serving game 4 of a 4-game suspension. They do have some quality players off on defense, but, Jason Shivers, who's the defensive coordinator, will always find a way to get his best players involved.
This is a very integral set of games here in the grand scheme of this season, isn't it? I mean, you could look at BC as the turning point last week, but if they are going to salvage playoff hope, to me, Dave, it's got to start tonight, and then looking ahead to a couple games against a beleaguered Ottawa team as well.
I would say that they have to win all 3 of these games, and then the first part of this 3-game stretch isn't going to be easy with the Riders, and the Red Blacks have their issues, but that's not going to be easy either, because the Elks aren't exactly blowing the doors off of anything right now. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if they win tomorrow, then it's an opportunity to give yourself another opportunity. That's the line that Chris Jones said this morning after their loss through, and I thought that was just a perfect line to describe their situation. So if they don't win tomorrow, the task becomes harder, and that doesn't mean that those 2 games against the Red Blacks are not winnable, but boy, you're putting yourself majorly behind the 8-ball, and it was going to be a tough challenge anyway, just because this was a very new team under Chris Jones. They changed so many parts. Basically, I like to say he ripped the house down of the studs and is rebuilding, and it's hard to do and hard to find success in year 1 when you're doing that. But hey, you got an opportunity to actually improve your playoff standing, so they better get it done tomorrow against a team that is struggling. Lost 3 straight, coming off a bye week, and it's always a little arduous for playing any team that's coming off a bye week. But they're not exactly firing all cylinders either. They've got their own issues, so you want to try and exploit that, especially at home, and break a long losing streak at home as well.
Somebody made a good point that the Elks are the team that other teams have circled on their calendar. So that's got to mean something to you, right? Like there's got to be a sense of pride involved here. And especially when you look at the long delay between wins on home field, everybody wants to beat Saskatchewan on their home field because that's just what the Riders fan base brings out in people. But, it's got to be extra important as well, I would think, just given that you want to be the team that breaks this at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how much longer do you want this to go? And, I know there's an opponent on the other side that's quality, and they're trying to mess that up for you, but you know, at some point, push has to come to shove here, and you're just going to be so sick of this that you're going to find any way possible to rectify this. And they had a chance to do it against the Bombers, you know, 3 weeks ago, and they couldn't do it. I mean, for goodness sakes, I still can't believe they won with 7 completed passes from Zach Poleros. But, you know, I think in that game, it just came down to the, you know, those 4 or 5 plays, like it usually does in football, that the Elks were on the wrong side of. And, but, you know, it's mindset. It's, like you say, it's mindset. It's attitude. It's, and you have to be insulted and taken aback that when people come into this park, they're thinking you're the easy out here. Well, you can't make it an easy out, right? You know, what's disturbing is they've played 8 games, and I'm not a mathematician, Brendan, but they've been blown out in 3 of them. And that tells me almost half their games they've been blown out. That's not good. That's not good at all. You know, they've won 2 games rallying from behind and dominating the fourth quarter against Hamilton and Montreal on the road. And they were close against Saskatchewan, having a lead. Really close against the Stampeders for having a lead for about 40 minutes. And then they blew it. So, you know, you're just waiting for when, okay, when's enough enough here, okay? I know Chris Jones has had enough, but that has to follow with the players that are on the field. So, yeah, it's a good point that you're raising. Essentially, that's a good question. When is enough enough for you?
Finally, let's get an update, whatever you can provide us on Trey Ford. Taylor Cornelius has now sort of become the story of the season, I would think, just because of Ford's injury. It's a shame that we hadn't gotten to see the complete breakout, but you know, disappointing that it stretched this far along. This is 4th straight starts for Cornelius now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Trey Ford plays retroactively on the 6th game, so I would assume this will be his 4th game on the 6th game, so he would be eligible to practice next week. But I think this is more about saving on the cap as well as much as they can, and also giving a chance to allow an injury, which, you know, over the bye week, Trey Ford tried to throw, and he did throw, but there was pain in the shoulder and in that collarbone area, so they're not going to rush him back at all. So he's got to be pain-free when he throws. So it's kind of a twofold thing. Is, you know, they're going to save money on the cap, but they're going to give Trey Ford a chance to, you know, to heal up here, because he was in a lot of pain when he tried to throw the football. So, you know, another chance for Taylor Cornelius, too, is to kind of, you know, give himself an opportunity to let's see if he can be the Cornelius of the first 2 starts this year, and not so much from last week as well. So it's opportunity knocking for him. I mean, he had a good game against the Riders in Saskatchewan at the start of that 3-7 road trip to end the season last year. So let's see if he can bounce back as well. But yeah, Trey Ford, I don't imagine he's going to be an option until probably the Labor Day series.
Appreciate the time today, Dave. We'll chat to you on the pregame show tomorrow.
Look forward to it, buddy. See you then.
Dave Campbell, Elks color analyst here on 630 CHED, teeing it up, the Elks and Saskatchewan Rough Riders tomorrow. 6:30 countdown show, yours truly steering that ship, and then an 8 o'clock kickoff from the Brickfield at Commonwealth Stadium. I haven't checked the weather report, so I won't try and sell you on that, but where else would you rather be if it's warm? It's Brendan Escott here. We'll wrap up Oilers Now after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Reverse the schedule.
Okay.
To try to end with something that was a little more competitive than what we have been doing,
right.
And we've been ramping it the other way. So we ramped it up instead of ramping it down. Mm-hmm. And so, we're just going to see where it goes.
Elks head coach Chris Jones talking about switching the flow of practice around this week, maybe easing into it and having it fired up toward the end of the week, which would have been yesterday. They did a walkthrough today, and tomorrow it's game time. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years now. For a menu and a list of their 15 Edmonton and area locations, go online to royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Escott recommendation today, once again, keep it simple, man. Go with the pepperoni. They do it right. As Bob says, old school big boy pizza, all the ingredients are as real as it gets. This day in Oilers history, let's rewind to 2014. Not a bad one as the Oilers signed their third overall pick from 2014. Leon Draisaitl to an entry-level contract. Scored 9 goals in 37 NHL games the following season and then dominated the WHL with 53 points in 32 games before being named the MVP of the 2015 Memorial Cup. Not a bad player these days. Some would suggest he's the best. I don't think anybody in Toronto would make that assertion, but I bet you there's a lot of Europeans that would assert that Leon Draisaitl's the best hockey player right now. He's got a couple 50-goal seasons to his credit. That doesn't happen very often, a third overall pick. There's a lot of third overall picks that are playing in the league right now that don't do a whole lot of anything. All due respect to Dylan Strome, those are two entirely different levels of production for two third overall picks. So, yeah, just food for thought. Sometimes you win the lottery. I guess the Oilers did that in back-to-back seasons, as we've often talked about on this show. Bob is back from another, I won't call it a holiday, because I imagine it was work for him out there on the course, trying to wrangle Reed, the golfer that he is, and enjoyed themselves at the Gary Dreger Classic today. Tomorrow, again, it's the Elks and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Big game for both teams at Commonwealth Stadium. 6:30 countdown, 8 o'clock game time. Up next, we've got a global news weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3 p.m. And then 6:30 Ched afternoons with guest host Ted Henley. Always a pleasure hanging out with you. Appreciate the texts on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. We'll chat again next week. So long from the 6:30 Ched studios.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.